Скальской земле, в том самом парламенте, где в том числе и избирается уполномоченный по правам человека Свердловской области. И мы будем рады услышать ваше выступление на открытии нашей конференции международной. Не случайно именно вас мы поставили первой. Спасибо.
Does it work? Yes, it works. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm really sorry, but I'm the first non-Russian speaker, so you will need to put your earphones. Oui, mais I will. Je vais parler en anglais. Je suis désolée. I'm going to tell you a few words about the Council of Europe's role in bringing human rights home. And I will start by saying that education on human rights is an uninterrupted journey that should start in school, continue at university, and throughout the professional career. This journey is indispensable, because in order to be a reality for all those within the jurisdiction of the European Convention on human rights have to be effectively protected and implemented first and foremost at national level. And this is what is meant by bringing human rights home. The necessary precondition for achieving such an effective implementation of human rights at the national level is that those responsible for it are not only familiar with the standards, but also know how to apply them in concrete situations. And this is particularly true for the actors within the justice chain, judges, prosecutors, and lawyers, for law enforcement bodies, and the administration in general. It is thus crucial that these actors are well trained on the use of human rights standards in national proceedings and at the national level. Although, of course, it's the national authorities' responsibility to bring human rights home, notably by ensuring adequate education and training on human rights in line with the subsidiary character of the supervision mechanism set up by the Convention, the Council of Europe has supported its member states in doing so through standards it set in this area and, more importantly, through cooperation work. So the first reference text is a Committee of Ministers recommendation of 2004, which was distributed in the materials you got this morning, on the European Convention on Human Rights in University Education and Professional Training, which called on Council of Europe member states to establish stable training structures which could incorporate human rights into their curriculum. It also invited them to integrate the Convention and its case law as a component to the common core curriculum of law, political, and administrative science, as a component of the preparation programs of examination for access to the legal professions, and of the initial and continuous education for judges, prosecutors, and lawyers, as well as law enforcement bodies and personnel of immigration services. This text has led to the development of the European Programme for Human Rights Education for Legal Professionals, the HELP Programme, which aim is precisely to ensure that the human rights training throughout the European space is of good quality and meets the specific needs of each category, be it judges, lawyers, or prosecutors. And now the HELP program has become the platform of all human rights capacity and development endeavors undertaken by the Council of Europe. I will say a few words about it later, but there are leaflets which were left at the entrance of this room. Since the recommendation was adopted nearly 10 years ago, some progress has been achieved. And, for example, now all Council of Europe member states have permanent training structures for judges and prosecutors. And 9 years ago, that was certainly not the case. Also, New methods in adult learning have been developed, in particular based on the principle of open education. But of course, some challenges remain and relate particularly to the absence of mandatory continuous training for lawyers and the still insufficient transversal approach of human rights training provided to legal professionals. And because of these developments and the increased move towards new methods of training, such as distance learning, the Committee of Ministers has decided to revisit this recommendation in 2015, either by updating it or by developing guidelines on best practices on human rights training for legal professionals. And this new document will look at the ways initial and continuous education for judges, lawyers and prosecutors should be carried out so as to ensure the implementation of paragraph 9.6 of the Brighton Declaration, which was adopted in 2012, and in which all Council of Europe member states explicitly expressed their determination to ensure the effective implementation of the Convention at the national level by, and here I'm quoting, providing appropriate information and training about the Convention in the study, training and professional development of judges, lawyers and prosecutors. And a follow-up mechanism could be established to monitor or self-monitor the compliance of national training institutions and bar associations with their obligation to provide good quality training on human rights. The second important reference text is the Council of Europe Charter on Education for Democratic Citizenship and Human Rights Education of 2010, which was also distributed to you in Russian, I believe, and which was developed over a period of several years and involved broad consultations with many stakeholders. So the Charter deals with issues such as policy development, support in developing and reviewing curricula, and on training of education professionals to democratic governance of educational institutions. The Charter also deals with evaluation and research. So the idea is to promote a culture of democracy and human rights through education, which includes but is not restricted to the transmission of knowledge. But of course, we all know that the way a teacher treats marginalized children, for example, in class, can have much more influence on one's perception of human rights than a formal lecture on the subject. So the implementation of the Charter is monitored, and there is a monitoring system which is based on a questionnaire which is filled in by governments. So there was a first cycle of evaluation in 2012, and the next one will be in 2017. The Council of Europe is also supporting the implementation of the Charter through pilot projects, and this year it involved 11 countries, including the Russian Federation. And they are looking, these projects deal with the training of teachers, development of curricula, and skills for promoting social cohesion, valuing diversity, and handling differences and conflict. There are also national coordinators, so there is one for Russia, which is an important tool for supporting the implementation of the Charter and also to ensure that school curricula are adequately developed and reformed. But I have to say that there is currently a gap between primary education and professional training, because the Council of Europe actually in the last years has not so much been involved in looking at how human rights are taught in secondary schools and universities. But we have the feeling that this is progressively changing, because now there is a very recent project which aims at enabling European secondary school students to become familiar with the key principles of human rights law and how they are applied in practice. And actually, there is a handbook which has been developed and which unfortunately was not published on time because otherwise I would have brought it with me, but I think it will be very interesting for you in the Sverdlovsk region to have a look at it and to see how you can introduce this handbook in the secondary schools in the region. And it's really based on the case law of the European Court of Human Rights. There are also growing demands from universities because it is clear that even if there is good initial professional training, it is certainly not sufficient to ensure that legal professionals or law enforcement bodies will acquire the reflex to think human rights if they didn't get adequate training in universities. So postgraduate studies specialized in human rights are still too rare, and the initiative to create such a master's degree in Yekaterinburg can only be encouraged. And I'm just thinking that given the size of the Russian Federation and the development of new teaching methods, whether you have envisaged to have an online LLM. But ideally, the convention should be fully incorporated into faculty and law programs, not only as an independent subject, but also horizontally in each legal discipline, such as, for example, criminal or civil law, so that each law student, whatever their specialization, are aware once they graduate of the implications of the convention in their field. So, there is also increased cooperation between the Council of Europe and some European universities, and now we are discussing more cooperation, for example, with the European Inter-University Centre and the Venice International University. But there are also examples where cooperation exists, for example, when moot court competitions take place in Strasbourg, such as the René Cassin competition or the European Human Rights Moot Court organized by ELSA. We also have good examples of cooperation. For example, the Glasgow University for nearly 20 years has been bringing its best students to Strasbourg for a moot court, and this has been very successful and has created really generations of human rights lawyers who then apply the human rights in their work, even if they do not specialize in human rights. So now I would like to turn to the professional training of legal professionals. And I mentioned earlier how HELP has been developed as a response to the 2004 recommendation to become the platform of all human rights capacity development endeavors undertaken by the Council of Europe. So the first reason for that relates to the numerous challenges which many Council of Europe's member states are facing today, and including the economic crisis. And this indeed touches the whole Europe, not only certain regions of Europe. And at time, unfortunately, the response to these challenges is being used as a justification for disregarding the commitment to respect human rights at the national level. And this is, of course, not acceptable. And one of the ways to counter this tendency is to make sure that judges, prosecutors, and lawyers are able to articulate and then properly apply the requirements of human rights standards in these particularly difficult situations. And HELP is here to support them in fulfilling this vital role. And secondly, there is a need to ensure that limited resources are used as effectively as possible with no wastage and overlapping. And this can only be achieved if true cooperation takes place, and again, HELP offers a platform where cooperation is the key word. So training on the Convention should be seen as both providing an immediate contribution to improving the skills and knowledge among legal professionals, but also as making a longer investment with the aim of reducing the volume of cases which are currently brought before the European Court of Human Rights. And the Council of Europe has been providing training on the Convention in a number of its member states for well over a decade. And actually, in some countries, the only training for years was only the one provided by the Council. But happily, this now truly belongs to the past. And even if it's not sufficient and often not satisfactorily. Now, all training institutions in Europe do have at least a minimum of training on the European Convention on Human Rights. Undoubtedly, European judges, lawyers and prosecutors do use convention-based arguments in their judgment submissions and decisions. But however, it's also clear that in far too many situations, the convention and the case law of the Strasbourg Court have not been taken in consideration in situations where they were clearly relevant. And this is, for example, the case regarding the lack of effective investigations of allegations of ill treatment and the lack of scrutiny of prosecutors' decisions on pretrial detention, and of course in cases of excessive length of pretrial detention. And this is the reason why the Court of Strasbourg is absolutely overwhelmed with applications when, if they were decided at the national level, they would never, never reach Strasbourg. Of course, for many legal professionals, the task of applying the case law of the Strasbourg Court can appear overwhelming because the principles of interpretation might seem alien to some national legal traditions. But this is exactly this difficulty that makes the provision of professional training and the translation and dissemination of case law so important. And there are many now initiatives, including in the Russian Federation, where actually a vast volume of information and case law are available, but unfortunately they are not systematically used. To come back to the HELP program, the aim is to ensure that human rights law becomes a compulsory element in the initial and continuous training for all legal professionals, be it as a separate course or mainstreamed throughout the curricula. And to achieve this, a rich collection of training materials has been developed, available to all legal professionals who do not necessarily specialize in human rights, but who should acquire the reflex to refer to the convention when it's relevant. We look not only at the convention but at cross-cutting issues because, of course, human rights are not limited only to one instrument. And, for example, we have developed courses on family law, on alternative measures to detention, on anti-discrimination, and there are other courses in the pipeline, including on freedom of expression in the internet area. What is interesting is that these courses are implemented in cooperation with the national training institutions, and their completion leads to the delivery of certificates issued jointly with the Council of Europe. And this is certainly an incentive for legal professionals. HELP uses new forms of education involving new methodologies, in particular the principle of open education, which gives the opportunity to legal professionals to learn about what they want to learn and when they want to do so, and to give them in a way a sense of responsibility for their education. So the idea is really to develop a strong sense of ownership. Ladies and gentlemen, in the end, I would like just to say two brief things. The first one is that the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe is currently looking at the role the Council of Europe should play in the training on human rights of legal professionals, with a view to adopt a resolution to Member States and a recommendation to the Committee of Ministers in early 2014. And while it's not possible to anticipate the Assembly's conclusions, it is expected that the Council of Europe will continue to play a significant role in the future. And ultimately, in conclusion, I would like to say that there should be no need to bring human rights home because the good training provided should generate domestic decisions that reflect the Strasbourg case law. And member states ultimately should have the tools to provide good training on their own, thanks to the legacy left by the HELP program, but also other initiatives. However, unfortunately, we see too often persistent patterns of non-compliant judgments, which clearly indicate a gap between what we call good training and bad decisions. And of course, there are multiple reasons, and which can be explained sometimes by undue pressure from the authorities, influence of public opinion, an entrenched culture within the judiciary of giving priority to the protection of the state over the protection of human rights. Sometimes there is bias against members of social groups, and also, of course, linguistic barriers and lack of updates in the context of a constantly evolving case law. So I would like to say in the end that the earlier in life human rights education starts, the earlier these obstacles will be removed. Thank you very much, and if there is a discussion after, of course, I'll be happy to respond to questions. Thank you.
Спасибо большое, Татьяна. Вот ваша фраза 11 стран, включая Россию, она внушает оптимизм, потому что мы начинаем рано, у нас есть учебники, именно свердловские учебники, начиная с 1 по 4 класс для ребят. У нас есть хорошая ассоциация преподавания права. Ну, но сегодня мы говорим уже о какой-то магистратуре в сфере прав человека. Поэтому мне бы хотелось побольше оптимизма, что в числе, когда вы называете, что в числе России, Россия есть, была бы наша Свердловская область.
Да, я надеюсь, что Совет Европы сможет поддержать эту инициативу.
Да, вы видите, что мы действительно здесь собрали энтузиастов, и могло бы прийти значительно больше людей, просто мы вот так ограничили местом проведения, и руководителей больше собрали, но большое желание и инициатора у нас есть. Я бы хотела, кстати, сейчас в президиум пригласить Семитка Алексея Павловича, декана юридического факультета гуманитарного университета, в президиум пригласить. Да? Есть еще вопросы к Татьяне? Наверное, есть? У нас. Антон, вопрос? Антон Бурков.
Ага.
Спасибо. Мистер Мачич, спасибо большое. У меня вот такой вопрос. В зале находится много преподавателей права, и вот та программа HELP, о которой вы говорили, она будет очень интересна каждому из них. Где можно подробнее узнать, как пользоваться этой программой HELP, как пользоваться материалами программы HELP в преподавании здесь, в Екатеринбурге, в Свердловской области?
Значит, сейчас я буду на плохом русском языке говорить. Есть эти лифлетики, и там есть веб-сайт. Но если вы хотите во время перерыва, если у кого-нибудь есть компьютер, я могу вам показать быстро демонстрацию, как пользоваться материалами. Потому что есть очень много материалов на русском языке, и есть тоже Focal Point, который находится в Москве, но много, и вы можете пользоваться. Я могу вам потом показать, если вы мне дадите компьютер.
Ранее это показать? Какое-то время?
Да.
Антон, мы тебя попросим связаться с Татьяной и в какой-то период, под завершение, может, сегодняшнего дня, это показать на экране. Мы попросим законодательное собрание нам помочь обеспечить это.
Спасибо.